Good morning. What an awesome song that we can call God our Father, and we can be called children of God. And that's part of my presentation today, that I would like to share a little bit comparison between the God of Islam and the God of the Bible. And that's absolutely, it's a key thing to our belief that God is our Father. I just would like to share a small video before I continue. But our ministry, we reach out to Muslims at mosques weekly, and I would love to see you participating in that. But definitely, this is my home church, and definitely you guys being a blessing, and many of you are praying for our ministry, and we can sense these prayers, because dealing with Islam and Muslims is a very hard work if we do it by our own strengths. But praise God for the prayers that God using to move and to help us in our ministry, because without prayers, we cannot do it. We need more and more people to be praying for us. When we pray, God work. When we work, we just work. But we want Him to be the one doing the work, and we want to work alongside where God is working. Amen?
I was born in Sudan, grew up there. I was 11 years old when I saw my sin and I saw my need for a savior, and I prayed to accept Christ. I came to the United States. I felt like the Lord wanted me to reach out to Muslims here. We start weekly prayer meeting every Thursday night, and we go out every single Friday to different mosques. There is fear, but in these mosques, there's people seeking the Lord and searching for Him. Would you make Him known to them? Would you take Jesus to them? They know we have freedom here, and that's what they're coming for. But the only way they can be free indeed is through the gospel of Jesus Christ, because He is the only one who can set them free. The challenge is a big challenge. There's many Muslims across America.
I had a thought in my head, well, let's do a VBS, you know, in that community, and invite them and see if they'll come.
I really had doubt that any Muslim parents will allow their children to come, but the Lord really put it in my wife's heart that she wanted to do a VBS.
Last year we found a church that had about 99% Arab Muslims in their neighborhood. One or two days before, we handed out flyers in front of the school as the kids were getting out.
I was shocked. Inside that church, over 90 Muslim kids, to see them sitting there memorizing Bible verses, singing and worshiping Jesus with us. They are seeking something different. Fear is what is stopping us from reaching out to these people. You have a story, an amazing story, Jesus' story in your life. You can share that with them.
Amen. Yeah, it's amazing what God, amen, what God doing in that city, that many Muslim kids been coming. Actually, this last 2 years, we have over 160 Muslim kids been coming, with some of them with their parents comes to church as well, and attend the entire VBS, which is really awesome. Last year was the last year that we are going to Dearborn, Michigan. Now the local people are gonna take over, and they're gonna continue the VBS. Lord willing, they're gonna be, it's gonna be done in July 29th to July 31st. Please cover them in prayer. And it's just a joy to see that now they are doing it themselves, and they're gonna continue doing it. We, Lord willing, next year we're gonna start focusing in Minnesota. A lot of Somali, it's the largest, I think, Somali community out of Somalia is in Minnesota area. Thousands and thousands of them. Many of them not being reached with the gospel, and what an opportunity to go and reach out to them. In my entire life, I met only one Somali Christian. Only one. She actually go to Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. What an awesome opportunity. She came and shared her testimony a few weeks with us here. I would like to start, the topic is the root of the issue, and we wanted to know why what's happening across the world by Muslims and why Muslims acting the way they act. And I would like to do a comparison in 12 different areas between Islam and Christianity. But the intention is not to teach you what Islam really teaches, but it's for us to see how blessed we are to follow the God of the Bible, the true God, the only God, the relational God, the God that He is really good, but just feel for who He is. And we're going to see, compare His character with the God of Islam and see the difference. And that's our desire, is to introduce the Muslims to our God, to show them who our God really is and how much He loved them. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." The Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Lord Jesus, I just pray, Lord, that you give me the word to speak to my brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray that you accomplish, Lord, what you have me to come here for, Lord Jesus. And I do want to thank you for those working right now in the back in room 11, packing gospel packages, Lord. I just pray for each package that they're filling up there with the gospel of John and the gospel of Luke as a movie and all this material, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you anoint each one of these packages, Lord, and as people receive it, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will bring them to church, Lord, that they may hear the gospel message, Lord. And we just thank you, Father, for this time, Lord. I pray, knowing that you are in the midst of us, as you promise, if two or more met, that you will be in the midst. And we just thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Here, God, it's not like He did not know where Adam is, but God, our God is a relational God. He wants to hear, respond back from Adam. He wants to talk to Adam. And this, I'm sorry, this is keep moving, but no problem. God wants to hear back from Adam, that He wants to talk to us, because who God is, our God is a triune God. From the beginning, He's a God that He talks. He's not a silent God. God is always talking. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they love each other. They always in a relationship together for eternity, from no beginning, always been. That's how our God is. Our God, He wants to talk to us. He wants to hear back from us. Now, when you go to the same story in the Quran, the Islamic book, the Quran, they have the same story. But guess what? God was not there. Allah was not in the garden. Allah is not seeking conversation with His people. He doesn't want to dwell among His people. He is far away somewhere. They don't know where He is. I don't know if make it different. He from the beginning, He was not in the garden. That's a big thing. That's really important. And to understand that, we need to see who God is in Islam and who God is in the Bible. Our God is a triune God. It's a God that Father, Son, Holy Spirit, not just one. In Islam, Tawheed, the word Tawheed, it means to unite. But how Muslims understand it, that just God is one. God is one. And that's why, because God is one, He doesn't talk. Before He created the universe, God was silent. He has no one to talk to. He is not the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's just one. When He created the universe, God was not interested, according to Islam, to be with man. He was not walking with Adam. He was not walking with Eve. He did not try to talk to them. He's just far away from them. But our God is a triune God. It's a perfect God. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they were always in that relationship together. Even after He created the universe, He was not a silent God and all of a sudden He started talking. No, from the beginning He talks. He has that relationship. In Islam, it's offensive to say God is love. Why? Because if God loves, He has a sense of need. He needs someone to love. And I agree, if God just one, not a triune God, it will be offensive to say God is love. Even though the Quran says 20 times that God's love is a conditional love, but according to the commentator, it's offensive to say God is love. It's contradictions, but the Quran is filled with contradictions like that. But praise God for our God, for who he is. The best of all deceivers, according to the Bible in John, is the father of lies, Satan. But according to the Quran, chapter 3, verse 54, it says, Allah, the best of all deceivers. I'm not telling you that to go and tell your Muslim friends you're following the best of all deceivers, because they're not going to listen to you after that. But the reason I'm telling you, if they are following the best of all deceivers, they are deceived by the God of this world that blinded their eyes and they cannot see anything else. We pray that the Lord will open their eyes to see the truth, to know who Jesus really is and who God really is. But sadly, in chapter 7, verse 99, it says, if you trust Allah, you are going to hell. You're going to lose in the day of judgment. But praise God that we can trust our God, because he is not the best of all deceivers. God become a man. The Bible says that Jesus emptied himself from his glory and he entered this world to lay down his life for us. But in Islam, God was not in the garden, and also he cannot become a man. He cannot enter the universe. Even though they have the story of Moses with God appearing as a burning bush, but that's one of the contradictions they have in their book. Because also God becoming a man, that's impossible. God will not become a man. But he can become a burning bush. It's fine. But but praise God that our God, the God of the Bible, he is able to come to the world. He was a great God. Muslims tell me, how can you say God become a man? Like that, you are insulting God by saying that God goes to the bathroom and stuff like that. I always ask them, look, let's say you are a manager over a big company and you're wearing your suit and a tie and everything, and you are about to go to work and you saw your son, your child, falling in the mud. Would you go and get your child out of the mud? Or are you going to say, oh, son, I'm busy now, I'm going to send my driver or someone else to do it? What do you think about the father saying that to his son? They say, that's a bad father. What do you think about the father that he jump in and get his son out of the mud? Is a good father. And ask them after that, what do you think about a God that he created his universe and just left them alone? And what do you think about a God that he came down to rescue us? Use stories. They love listening to stories. It makes it more clear for them when you use examples like that. Jesus used that with the Middle Eastern people during his time, and today is the same kind of Middle Easterns. They're very attracted to stories. Use your story, how Jesus changed your life and how he's able to change their lives. Use examples, use stories from the Bible, use stories from the Old Testament to bring the point across to them. It is very hard for us as men, as human, to understand and absorb God's love toward us. It is absolutely, it's amazing thing, the story of that God become a man and die for us. We take it sometimes for granted because we hear this story since we are very young. But what God did for us is absolutely, we need to agree with them. This is something we don't deserve. But praise God that he loved us while we are yet sinners. He did not ask us to change ourselves. Every time the Quran says God is love, he has a huge list of requirements to meet before to be loved by him. Deep in the heart of every Muslim, they know they cannot be loved by God. But we need to show them the love of our God, that he is his unconditional love, that he loved them so much that he laid his life for them. The spiritual world, we have the Holy Spirit, Jesus. How closer can be? God did not just empty himself, become a man, die for us on the cross, but he also gave us the Holy Spirit, which is the third person in the triune God, that he lives in us. He's always with us forever. He's not just with you when you are good, but he's always with us. He said, I will not leave you, but I will give you the Holy Spirit. This is the closest possible that our God can be. He is in us. The Muslims, they have the jinn. I don't know if you know the genie. Have you ever heard the genie coming out of the bottle in the movies? The genie, it is true. Genie is Islamic demons. Demons that heard the Quran and they converted to Islam, according to Islamic teaching. They put it in your movies, but it, from years ago, and maybe you have no clue what it's talking about, but it is an Islamic demon. In the government of Sudan, where I came from, they have 3 empty seats in the parliament of Sudan for the demons, for the jinn, to empower them. As a result, they have blood and killing and persecution of Christians for the last 40 years. This is a serious thing that we deal with when we go to the mosques. It's demonic spirit. And that's why we do need people to be praying for us while we are doing the outreach. God, we become the children of God, as the song earlier says, but the best they can do, they can become a slave of Allah. They can never get closer to God than a slave-master relationship. It's very, very sad. And that's the message we want to take to our Muslim friends, that you can become the child of God. Wycliffe, they removed the Son of God out of the Bible for the Muslim translation. It's very, very sad because Muslims are attracted by the fact that we can become children of God. The Quran says Allah is a father to no one. Also, Wycliffe, for the Islamic translations, they remove father out, they put guardian. And that's very, very troubling, very sad to just please the Muslims. We remove the fact that God is our father. Many Muslims are attracted to the gospel message because the fact that God is our Father. When they see us praying to our God and call Him our Father in heaven, they just desire that. They just wanted that God that we have, and they wanted that relationship. Prayers, in Christianity, when we pray, we know that God hears our prayer. How many times you prayed for a situation and you come to church and you hear Pastor Mark talking and you feel like the Lord talking right to you about certain issue that you've been praying for a while? How many times you read the Word of God and maybe you read these passages before, but for the first time you just feel like this passage is coming like in a new and fresh way, like you never heard them before, and you feel like, wow, you are answering my questions, Lord. How many times that you are in a situation where someone you never even shared that situation with, and they will come and talk to you, and you feel like, wow, God, you did send that person to tell me this. Our God responds back to us when we pray, when we seek Him. But their God, they pray 5 times a day. They pray 5 times a day, every single day, and they have even no hope. They don't have even one hope that He will reply back to them. But they pray 27 times. They pray 27 times this prayer. They're asking God to lead them to the right path. But if they continue their prayer, that is a written prayer in the Quran, they're telling God, lead us to the right path, but not the path of the Jews or the Christian. And I beg them, don't tell God what to do. Just ask Him to lead you to the right path. Don't tell them, don't tell God, don't take me to the Christians or the Jews. Satan wants to make sure that 27 times a day, they will tell God, don't lead us to the Christians' way. It's so sad. He wants to make sure they will not come to know Christ. He wants to stamp them to hell, that they will not come to know Christ. Since they are children in their mom's womb, they will shout Quranic verses against the deity of Christ. Since they are in their mom's womb, they will shout these verses in their womb. It's very, very sad. But I always tell Muslims, read the first part. Just ask God to lead you to the right way. Ask the true God, the creator, that to lead you to the right way. But do not ever tell Him what to do. Don't tell Him, don't take me here or there. What if the Christian way is the only way? And He's telling Him, don't take me there. Please pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for their salvation. The great commission for us is what? To go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to absorb all that I have commanded you. What's that include? All I have commanded you. Jesus commanded us what? To love our enemies, to pray for those persecute us. That's included in this one. When we go, we have to teach people when they come to know Christ that to love their enemy, to pray for those persecute them. But let's go to the Islam. What is the Great Commission in Islam? Is the Islamic State, ISIS. They've been praying for the Islamic States, and we're seeing the action of Islamic States, not just killing Christian and Jews, but even killing Muslims if they did not pray, did not obey the Islamic teaching. It's a very violent actions being done in the name of Allah, but this actions is commanded here. In their book, it says to kill the Christian and Jews in chapter 9, 29, and in chapter 5, in chapter 9, verse 5, it says to kill the rest of the people, not just the Christian and Jews. Every violence that ISIS did is because of this book. Our problem is not with ISIS, really. Our problem is not with the Muslims. We get rid of Osama bin Laden, there's many will come. The problem is with the teaching of this book. Our problem is with the God of this world, the best of all deceivers that blinded them. They really think they're serving God when they kill us. And that's what the Bible talks about. There's people going to come and kill you, and they're thinking that they're serving God by killing you. What we need to pray that the Lord will open their eyes to see the teaching of Islam for what it is, that is not from the true God that loved them so much. This is a huge difference. Our God, He sent His Son to die for us, while in Islam, they're supposed to be dying for Him. Atonement is available because what? With Christ, because Christ took our place in that cross, because Christ paid that price. But according to Islam, for every Muslim going to heaven, a Christian and a Jew will be thrown in hell on their behalf. The problem is, a Christian and a Jew are sinners. They need someone to die for them. If they cannot pay for their own sin, how can they pay for the sins of the Muslims? The sacrifice must be perfect sacrifice in order to pay for someone else's sin. The Jews and Christians are not perfect. My Muslim friends, even the Quran in chapter 19, verse 19 says that Jesus is without sin. Jesus can pay for our sins, but Christian and Jews cannot pay for your sins. Salvation by accepting the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, that He paid that price for us. In Islam, dying in jihad, dying killing others. What a difference. Christ coming to die for us and their God asking them to die for Him. Muhammad used to pray 70 times a day for forgiveness of sin. 70 times, their prophet prayed 70 times a day for forgiveness of sin. What we get from there? Did he get insurance of salvation now? No. I am the apostle of Allah, and yet I don't know what Allah will do to me. He prayed for forgiveness of sin 70 times a day, and he has no assurance of salvation. Muhammad, he promised, he has no assurance of salvation, but he promised 10 people to go to paradise. The first two, the first one, Abu Bakr, the first successor, that when he let his 6-year-old daughter marry Muhammad when he was 56 years old, he became the first successor. When he was dying, he was so scared. They told him, "Why are you scared? You've been promised paradise." He say, "If I'm not fully in heaven, if just one foot in heaven, one out of heaven, I will not trust the deception of Allah." But praise God, we can trust our Lord and Savior. We can trust our God because He is not a deceiver. The second successor, he said, "I wish if I was a piece of wood and being burned and done with." He know there's a lot more than just to be burned and done with. He know he has no assurance of salvation, even though he was promised by Muhammad that he will go to heaven. How can we be saved? That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. There's 100% assurance of salvation. But my friends, we cannot give the Muslims Jesus if we don't have Jesus. we need to make sure that we know Christ as the Lord and Savior. Coming to church is not good enough if we don't have that relationship with Christ, if we don't give our lives fully to Christ, if we don't put Him as a Lord and Savior, not just a Savior, but a Lord and Master of our lives. I beg you, if you don't know Christ, take that moment, pray and ask Him to come to your life. Amen? Now, the unforgivable sin in Islam is, in Christianity first, a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict us of our sin, to draw us to the Father, to bring us to salvation, to accept Christ as a Lord and Savior. When we reject that and we die without accepting and allowing the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, to open our hearts, to accept Christ as a Lord and Savior, if we die in that stage, it's unforgivable sin because it's too late to accept Christ as the Lord and Savior. But in Islam, to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior is the unforgivable sin. To accept the God of the Bible, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, this is an unforgivable sin. What is the only way of salvation for us is the only unforgivable sin in Islam. Islam and the Quran attacks the heart of the Christian and the Bible message. We have to take this book very serious. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15 to be ready to give an answer about the hope we have. The word answer is apologia, is defense, to give a defense. Why we believe in this book, why we believe in Jesus is God, why we believe that Jesus died in for our sins, we do need to understand the word of God. We need to ask Him to give us the ability to stand and defend the word of God. Heaven. Allah, remember, Allah was not in the garden. Allah cannot enter earth. He cannot be with His people. And guess what? Allah will not be in paradise one day. Allah will not be in paradise, according to Islam. But praise God that we will spend eternity forever with our Lord and Savior, where He will dry every single tear from our eyes. That's what we're looking for, to be with Him for eternity. We were at the mosque in Chico, California, and we asked the Imam, are you looking forward to see God one day in heaven? He said, actually, according to Islam, Allah is not in heaven. We asked him, do you desire to see God, the one who created you? Do you desire to know Him? And he was just silent. He couldn't answer us. It's so sad. It's so sad. They're willing to die for Allah. They're willing to die for Him because they think really He commanded them to kill for Him. But He is not even willing to talk to them. He was not in the garden. He is not entering earth to be with them. And He's not going to even see them one day in heaven. He's far away from them. They don't even know where He is. Now, when we go to the mosques, a lot of time Muslims tell us that we love Jesus more than you. We believe in Jesus more than you. We believe Him. We love Him. I have a lady came with me to the mosque one time, and she started talking to Muslims, and every Muslim telling her the same thing. They believe in Jesus. They love Jesus. And she was all excited. They all believe in Jesus. But is He the same Jesus? Is He the Jesus of the Bible? Did He die on the cross? Is He the Savior of the world? I would like to go through some of the similarities. Both teaches, the Bible and the Quran teaches, that Jesus was born of a virgin. The Bible and the Quran teaches that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Great. But when you go in depth in the Islamic commentary, you find out the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is Angel Gabriel. Even though it looks like similarities, but if you go in more depth, you're going to find it's not a similarity. Jesus is a prophet. The Bible does teach us that Jesus is a prophet as well. Jesus is the Word of God. And this is very important because Muslims believe that Jesus is the Word of God because the Quran teaches that Jesus is the Word of God. But also the Quran is the Word of God according to Islam. And both of them Word of God. But if you said the Quran being created, because it is the word of God. And if he said the Quran being created according to Islam, you deserve to be put to death. Because God's word is eternal, cannot be created. This book, you cannot say it's been created, even though there's a publisher name and address. But Muslims telling you, how can you say Jesus more than a prophet? Jesus is just a prophet. He's been created just like Adam. My Muslim friend, if this book, because it's the word of God, cannot be created, Jesus is the word of God, cannot be created as well. Jesus is the word of God. It's the eternal word of God. You can use the Quran to make the comparison between the two. Jesus is the Messiah. Both books agree that Jesus is the Messiah, but Muhammad had no clue what the Messiah meant. If you divide this book in two different periods, Medina, the one city where, Mecca, where the first 10 years Muhammad was writing the Quran, and the second part of the Quran was written in Medina. In the first 10 years, Muhammad never mentioned Jesus as the Messiah because he was not around Christians yet. Not until he went to Medina and he met the Christian community and he started hearing the word Messiah, he started adapting that in the Quran. And that's just evidence to me that it is not from God. It's just him hearing things and adapted in his book. Jesus is sinless. I hear some people saying that the Quran teaches that Jesus is the only sinless. That's not true. The Quran teaches also John the Baptist is sinless. But the Quran does not teach us that Muhammad is sinless. We don't have to mention the John the Baptist, but do not claim that the Quran teaches that the only sinless is Jesus. That's not true. But Muhammad says every son of Adam at their birth were touched by Satan except Jesus, the son of Mary. Muhammad says the only sinless is Jesus. Jesus is with God, and this is very important. Remember, God was not in heaven, was not in the garden. God cannot enter earth. God will not be in the garden, but wherever God is, Jesus is with him. Muslims, they believe that prophets, they may enter paradise, but that's where God is not there. Muhammad hoping to enter paradise, all the prophets hoping to enter paradise, but Jesus is not in paradise. Jesus, wherever God is, Jesus is with him. The only one Islam teaches that for sure, 100% is with God, is Jesus. And this one, Jesus is the judge. According to the Quran, that God is the judge. But according to this passage, it says Jesus is the miracle of the day of judgment. And Muhammad says in his commentary, says that's because Jesus is going to come back as a judge, as a ruler just ruler and fair judge. That Jesus is going to come and judge the world. All these things they are great stuff. But I will never use them to prove Jesus' deity from the Quran. I will never give this book a credibility by using it to prove Jesus' deity. What I use these things, I will mention all these great things we just heard. Jesus is the word of God. Jesus is sinless. Jesus coming back to judge the world. Jesus is with God right now. I will ask my Muslim friends all these great things about Jesus, but the Quran says Jesus is not more than a prophet. How can it be? I will show them the shaky, unclear picture of Jesus in the Quran. How can he be the judge of the world and not more than a prophet? How can he be sinless and not more than a prophet? How can he be the word of God? He created the world by his word. And how can he be just a prophet? I will ask them that question and after that take them to the word of God and show them why he is the word of God and take them to John 1:1. In the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God. That's why he is the word of God, because he is God himself. And I take them and show them that why Jesus is sinless, and because of Jesus is sinless, he is able to forgive sin. Take them to the word of God. Don't ever give this book the credibility to prove Jesus' deity. Show them the problem with this book and take them to the word of God to give them the evidence and the reason why he is more than a prophet. If Jesus only a prophet, he is not good enough to die for us. This is very essential. It's not something that we can say, oh, we have to come in common ground or something. No, this is something firm. This is essential to the teaching of the Word of God, that Jesus is more than a prophet. Jesus, is Jesus the creator of everything according to Islam? No, Jesus, just like Adam, he was created. But what the Bible says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that on earth, visible, invisible, all things were created by him and for him. Is this sound like someone just a prophet? Absolutely no. Is Jesus the Son of God? The Quran says no, he is not the Son of God. The Quran, the most thing that being attacked in the Quran, the idea that Jesus is the Son of God. But the Bible very clear that Jesus is the Son of God. And who says that? Who's saying that Jesus is Son of God here in this verse? The Father. This is my beloved Son. Muslims demand us, show us in the Bible, and I saw Americans converting to Islam because of that one reason. They tell them, show me in the Bible where Jesus say, I'm God, worship me. They demand that phrase. How many of you have been in a courtroom? Have you ever been in a court? Okay. When the judge coming in, does he say, I am the honorable judge, stand for me? Does he say that by himself? No. Someone else said it. Who said it? Who say that? He ushered the judge in, right? If the ruler or the kings of the world, someone else will usher them. You want the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to usher himself in? I am God, worship me? No. But guess what? God the Father himself ushered Jesus in as during the baptism time. This is my son. What more evidence we need? When Jesus even claimed, when he called God his father, the Jews understood it what? That he claimed to be God. Even though when he just said, God is my father, they took rocks. They want to stone him. And he said, for which one you want good deeds I did, you want to stone me? He said, not for good deed, but for you, a man claimed to be God. He did not say, I am God. He said, I am the Son of God. He said, God is my father. They understood that as what? As he claimed to be deity, to be claimed to be God. Is Jesus God? Absolutely. The Bible is very clear about Jesus being God. But the Quran absolutely rejecting the idea of Jesus being God. And all the things that the Quran attack the deity of Christ or attack Christianity with is very essential. The Quran claimed that Jesus in the Bible says that Muhammad is coming after me. And Jesus never says that Muhammad is coming as a prophet. Jesus warned us of false prophets. He never told us there's as a prophet's coming. Jesus on that cross, he said what? It's finished. It's done. There is no other message. There is no other prophets coming. He did it all on that cross. It's done. Salvation, we're receiving salvation through his work on the cross. We don't need for other prophets to come. He made it very clear, false prophets that are coming, not good prophets. Jesus did not speak of any true prophets coming after him. He actually made it very clear. Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the only way. The crucifixion. The idea of the crucifixion is very sad in the Quran. The idea that God took Jesus and put someone else on the cross. He deceived the best followers of Jesus to believe that Jesus, by the way, all of you here believe that Jesus died on the cross because Allah deceived you to think that Jesus died on the cross. He took Jesus and put someone else. Because the Jews want to kill him, God said, no, I will not allow the Jews to kill my prophet. He took Jesus and put someone else. But the problem is, he did not just deceive the bad Jews that they want to kill Jesus. He deceived the best followers of Jesus. They all went preaching that message. They saw that Jesus dying on the cross, and they were killed for that message. But John, he suffered for that message because Allah deceived them all to think that Jesus died on the cross. I ask my Muslim friends, is the crucifixion a lie? They will say, absolutely. I ask them, who invented the lie, God or Satan? They will say, Satan. When I take them to the Quran, it's actually Allah invented that lie. All Christians, after Jesus, believed that message that Jesus died on the cross. Not until 600 years later, Muhammad came and said, no, Allah deceived you. That was not Jesus on the cross. Does it make any sense? If God sent Jesus to guide mankind to heaven, he ended misguiding man to hell. Then God is a failure. He failed to fulfill his purpose of sending Jesus. I always ask Christians, and I will ask you too, but you need to know this very important, because Paul says, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, our faith is in vain. If Jesus did not die on the cross, then how can he rise from the dead? And this is very essential. If Jesus is not God, he's not good enough to die for us. And if he's God and did not die for us, then we are doomed, because that's our only hope to be in heaven one day. I started something and I don't remember what I was going to say. It's not out of ignorance that the Quran denied the Jesus deity, but rather deliberate attack against the deity of our Lord and Savior and his sacrificial work on the cross, both which are essential to our salvation. But though we are angels from heaven preach any other gospel into you than which we have preached into you, let him be accursed. The Bible is very clear. This is the only gospel. This is the only message. If someone going to preach a different gospel, different message, please don't believe them. And we need to equip our new generation to be ready to give a defense, to be ready to give an answer to these Muslims that are waiting for our children to enter university and colleges. They are targeting them. 25,000 American students converting to Islam every single year. It's time to equip our new generation. It's time to let them know why we are a church, why we believe what we believe. They need to be equipped in apologetics. It's really important. Even though the Bible and the Quran both teaches that Jesus was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, called the Word of God, sinless, is with God right now, coming back to judge the world, we don't believe that the Messiah of the Quran is the Jesus of the Bible because of the Quranic attack on Jesus' deity and finished work on the cross. Who then is Jesus of the Quran? If there's only one Jesus born of a virgin, there's only one Jesus is sinless, there's only one Jesus is the Word of God, there's only one Jesus going to come and judge the world. The Jesus of the Quran is a counterfeit Jesus. It's a made-up fake Jesus to distract mankind from the true Jesus. What's happening here, if you send $100, fake $100 to Sudan, to my country, they will not even know it is a fake money. They will think it's a real money. Not until they see the real $100 bill and they compare the two, they will recognize this is a fake money. Muslims, they have the fake Jesus. They have the counterfeit Jesus. They will never know he's a fake Jesus until we present them with the true Jesus, and they will do that comparison. Would you please join us to present Jesus, to show them who is the Jesus of the Bible, and for them to recognize that the Jesus they have, he cannot save them. Satan cannot give them a plate filled with poison and it has a label says that's poison and they will expecting them to eat. He have to give them a very nice Jesus, sinless Jesus, Word of God and all these great things, but he took the most important things out of Jesus. His deity, his work on the cross for our sins. He took them out of there to poison them, to deceive them, to lie to them. We need to give them the real Jesus. I asked my Muslim friends, what did Allah accomplish by sending Jesus? What did Allah accomplish by sending Jesus? According to the Quran, Allah sent Jesus as a messenger, giving him the gospel and as a guidance to mankind. However, when the Jews want to kill him, Allah took him and put someone else on that cross and deceived the Jews and deceived the followers of Jesus as well. And he waited 700 years until he exposed and he announced that he lied to them and tricked them. What Allah sent to guide mankind, he ended this guide mankind, leading them to hell. But after they talk, after we let them answer the question, what did Allah accomplish by sending Jesus? Let them talk. Then tell them what God accomplished by sending Jesus. Give them the gospel message. Share with them the good news. What God done through sending Jesus to us to die for our sins. I shared this story before. I would like to share it again. In 2006 at the Arabic festival in Dearborn, Michigan, my friend wearing a cross, her name is Deborah, she was walking with the necklace with the cross on it, and this Muslim Yemeni lady, she ran toward her. She wanted to talk to her, but she couldn't communicate, but her eyes was focused on that cross. She wanted to talk about that cross. She brought her daughter to translate. Her story was that her job was to break rocks, to get a smaller rock out of the bigger rock and polish that rock and to make it for use it for jewelry. But one day she broke a rock and she got the smaller rock out, and when she stopped polishing that rock and she went to look at that rock to polish it, she saw there's a crack in it. It looked like a cross. She kept that rock 10 years. She had that happened with her 1996. She kept it until 2006, not knowing what exactly the story behind it. But she knew that rock, there's something special about it, and she kept it. She insisted that we meet her the next day in the same place. Deborah went and met with her in that same spot. When Deborah saw that rock looked like a hill with a cross in it, a crack like a cross, Deborah started crying, and the Muslim lady, she really wanted to know, why are you crying? Why are you crying? And her daughter translated to her for her. Deborah told her, Jesus says, if my people stop crying out, the rocks will cry out. Jesus did not find someone in Yemen to tell you about him. He led the rocks to cry out to you. My friends, Jesus is able to let the rocks talk. He doesn't need any of us, but what an honor. He is a God that he wants to use us. He's a God, a relational God. He wants to dwell among us. He wants to use us in the process of bringing people to know Christ. He wants to use us as instruments in his hand to take the gospel to our neighbors and to everybody that he brings our way. Let's do it, because if we don't, the rock will preach the gospel. The rocks will cry out. Let's do it. Let's reach out to our neighbors. Let's reach out to the people around us. Please partner with us. We need your partnership. We need your partnership. Please write this phone number for the brothers, because I know the ladies, they meet at that time on Thursday night. But brothers, you can join us for prayer on Thursdays. Unless if sisters, if you don't go to that meeting, you are welcome to join us. Just dial that phone number, enter the access code. You will be able to join us over the phone to pray for the Muslims. But also, if you have any prayer requests, if you have a Muslim neighbor you've been talking to, please bring that prayer. We can join you in prayer as well. But also volunteering opportunity. Every Sunday at 2:45 to 5:45 in the youth room in the back, we meet and pack gospel packages. But today, we're doing it for the entire zip code for this area. And this is not just the zip code. We're running the entire California. We're reaching every house in California, but other ministries doing entire United States as well. We're going to reach every home in America, 60 million houses for the Lord. We want everyone to hear the gospel message. Would you please be part of this work? We need your help to pack 10,000 packages before Saturday. Would you also come and join us on Saturday just to hang these packages on doors? That's the minimum we can do. Just put it on the doorknobs and move on to the next door. It should not be that difficult. If the Lord led you a week or 2 weeks later to go back and knock that door and tell them, we left you a gift. Did you see it? Did you watch it? Can you please come to church? We'd love to have you. It's a great opportunity. But every Sunday, 2:45 to 5:45, we have packing packages for the mosque outreach. It's a different kind of material, but it's also the gospel material. SoCal annual outreach, June 6th to the 12th. On June 7, 8, and 9, over 10,000 Muslims will be in La Palma Parks. We're going to be giving the water, regular water, for them as they're going in. Handing them water. If you would like to donate some water by that time, we would love to have that. If you can help us with the water, we're going to give them water as they're going in. But when they're leaving the festival, we're going to give them the living water, the gospel material as they're leaving the festival. Please join us, and we have other outreaches we're doing that week, including we're going to San Diego to Muslim refugees. We did that in Good Friday. For 2 hours, we went to different homes, and we invited them to come and meet us at a park in El Cajon, San Diego area. And within 2 hours' notice, we have over 70 Muslims came to meet with us at the park, and we get to share the gospel one-on-one, and we had dinner with them as well. It was a really amazing opportunity. You have my cell phone number there and email. Please, I would love to be in touch with you. One way, if you cannot pray with us on Thursday, set up an alarm in your phone. 1 o'clock on Fridays. When that alarm goes off, remember to pray for us, because we have teams in many different states and many different counties that reaching out to Muslims at the mosques. We need your prayers during that time. If you can just, when the alarm goes off, take a couple minutes, pray for us, lift us in prayer. And it would be great also to receive a text message from you: I just prayed for you guys. And that will be really encouraging to know that you remember us and you're praying for us. Amen? Thank you so much. And if you have any question, I will be outside, but the pizza will be coming soon. We're going to have lunch at the fellowship hall. Then we're going to go to the youth room and pack the material. If you need this PowerPoint and you have a flash drive with you, I'd be more than happy to provide it for you. Thank you so much. And Pastor, would you pray for us? Thank you. Thank you, brother.
How's it been, 3 services?
Awesome.
Good. Okay. You know, I remember one time we had a visiting pastor, and after second service, they went, "I feel like a scooped out melon." You're not used to so many services, but thank you, brother, for taking the energy to do that.
Thank you. It is a blessing to be here with all of you. Yeah. It's a blessing.
Well, let's pray. So, Father, thank you so much for our brother George. Lord, we love him so much, and he is powerfully anointed by you for this particular task, Lord, to love the Muslims to you, Jesus. And Father, it's beautiful to see. And Lord, we know that all of us, we're looking for ways to serve you. And Lord, you have different ways for different folks, and there'll be some people here, Lord, that you will call to help Pastor George, Lord, get to those Muslims, Lord. And we thank you so much, Father, for what you're doing in him and through him. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we pray that you continue to bless him in every way, Lord. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen. 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 Good.
Thank you so much, brother.
You're welcome, brother. God bless you. We want to make sure that you know that if you need prayer for anything, the prayer room is open for you. You can come in and get some good Holy Ghost prayer with a God that wants to talk to you and is looking for you personally. That's so great to know, isn't it? To have our God who is like that for us. So may the Lord bless you. May God just continue to lead you step by step in all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.